Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Joining us now, Dr. Bruce Trone from the Jacobs School of Medicine, to talk about the virus and some of the things that it impacts, including Dr. Trone, one of the things we've been talking to you about throughout the pandemic, and that is nursing homes, and so many people wondering when they will be able to open up visitations in nursing homes, when they'll be able to see their loved ones again. What are you looking at now with what we're seeing here in Western New York, the numbers that kind of look better by the week, if not by the day sometimes? What is maybe the process where that would be able to be done safely? We know some nursing homes have done kind of an outside, socially distanced visitation. Can every nursing home do something like that, or maybe even go a step further?
Yes, good morning, Brian. Yes, so this is an important issue, of course, because the isolation of many nursing home residents has and can have a huge impact on their health, not just their state of mind. So we can look to other states as to how they are managing this. So Indiana, New Jersey, and Massachusetts, for example, have now allowed nursing home visits outside, but with a specific set of conditions. So for example, the Indiana State Department of Health has issued a guidance for this where they recommend that a nursing home has not had a COVID case for 14 days. And then with that clear background, that they again can arrange a very careful visit outdoors with personal protection equipment for both the resident, for the staff, and for the visitors, and that visitors can be no more than two at a time and have to attest to the fact that they have either not had COVID, or if they've had COVID, that they are now clear of COVID in the last 10 to 14 days. So I really believe that under these very careful conditions, that it would be safe to manage some visits with nursing home residents.
You know, we're approaching 4 months. Monday will mark 4 months since nursing homes barred visitors from their facilities. I mean, it's a human rights issue at this point, right? I mean, you can FaceTime and Zoom family members all you want, but it doesn't replace that in-person visit or holding someone's hand.
Oh, I agree entirely. So there is some good news that we do have even some reports in journals with case reports. There are no studies per se that say that by enhanced communication with video conferencing, it can make a difference. But many of the older adults who are in nursing homes, actually, because of their cognitive impairment, as we've discussed before, may not be able really to understand what's happening with the a video conference, or that may not make the impact that we want it to. So, yes, face-to-face or mask-to-mask, really, in this case, could make a very big difference. And ultimately, of course, we'd like to be able to say that there'd be human-to-human contact. I actually believe that given our information about what infectivity is available, even in patients who previously had COVID, that at some point we really should be able to manage even a face-to-face or human-to-human contact, again, under these strict circumstances.
Earlier this week, we heard the state come out with their own report on the state's guidance initially for nursing homes and how that contributed to what we saw a couple of months ago with the extreme amount of cases and deaths inside of nursing homes. Would you like to see an independent report done still on this issue?
So the answer is yes, but I am familiar with the report that was issued actually just in the last day or two. And I think what is good news to know is that there are other independent studies that have been done that look at the infection rate of individuals once they have and after they've had COVID. And it turns out that infectivity wanes very rapidly, so that usually by 4 to 7 days after having the onset of symptoms, you're not really infectious. What's interesting, though, is that just to remind your guests that the most infectious time is actually right before you develop symptoms and right around that time. And that what's really interesting is that you can still detect virus RNA, virus fragments from viruses, perhaps even weeks after the onset of the infection. But we have no evidence, and this is a good thing, that people are actually continuing to be infectious. So I think that the state's report is accurate because they looked at the timing and they could see that the return of patients who had had COVID, past tense, was actually well after the peak of COVID infections in nursing homes. But I think it's important for us to have an independent investigation because it shouldn't stop there. We should really try to determine what can we do for nursing homes in general that can reduce the level of infections, that can protect those nursing home residents and their staff in the future, if and when, and unfortunately it may really be when, there may be a return of increased numbers of COVID cases, perhaps in the fall.
And that report, the state is blaming staff for a lot of this. So would you agree then with that premise too, based on what you just said?
Well, so Susan, I would not use the word blame. Instead, there was an excellent, actually, op-ed piece in the Washington Post just at the end of June by three professors of healthcare policy, one from Harvard, one from the University of Chicago, and one from Brown. And they talked about the best way to protect nursing homes was to really protect the entire community. In other words, it's really family members and staff members who very inadvertently brought the COVID infection to nursing homes during the spring, during that surge. And if we want to protect the nursing homes in the future, we have to do as great a job as possible in reducing community-based infection. So yes, almost certainly it was nursing home staff and family members who brought the virus to the nursing homes, but this is well before we understood the whole nature of the illness. Now we have information where we can do a better job. And in fact, we're very fortunate here in Western New York. Even though there's been a slight uptick in cases, we have a relatively low level of cases compared to the entire country. So I would think that under those circumstances, we could again create an environment where nursing home visitation, as long as community spread was low, would really be safer.
You know, you mentioned a relatively low amount of cases compared to the rest of the country. Are there reasons for the difference in spread between here and other areas of the country? I mean, areas of the country as close as, you know, parts of Pennsylvania, you know, not necessarily just talking about Arizona and other states.
Yes. So, in fact, this same op-ed piece by these health policy professors looked at the evidence, and the data is really about density of population and also community spread. But I'd go one step further, and that is that we'd be fortunate through this area that for the most part, particularly here in Erie County, community members, people in the community, have done a very good job in practicing what we've talked about before, having masks, social distancing, which I prefer to call physical distancing, and also being able to wash hands. So this all plays a role. I actually was just talking to a reporter from Billings, Montana. They just had a big outbreak in one of their nursing homes. And frankly, one could look to this to say that at that point, Billings and maybe other areas of Montana had not engaged in the same types of distancing and healthcare practices that the community here has. But we now have learned a lot about this, and until we get a vaccine, cross our fingers, of course, at some time next year, then we have to continue doing this and really everybody sharing in this vigilance in order to protect not only ourselves here, in the nursing homes.
You know, if there's one thing I've heard again and again from whether it's doctors or other people, it's that nothing's 100% when dealing with the virus or science or anything like that. So we can't tell for sure. But because of a lot of these measures that people are taking seriously here, Does that mean we don't have to be as worried about a resurgence in the virus in the fall, or maybe a resurgence brought on by people traveling to the state from other hotspots?
You know, that it's a great question. It goes a little bit beyond medicine per se. In other words, what's our level of comfort? And I'll tell you that even I personally feel more comfortable now, but am still quite concerned about the potential for spread. So we already have evidence that an individual down in Westchester County went down to Miami, came back, and then initiated a spreader event. We know also that there's a quarantine, at least a recommended quarantine for visitors from other places in the country. I think the answer is we can feel a bit better, but we cannot take our foot off the pedal, unfortunately. And it's got to be an approach that says we can change our behaviors at least until that time. And again, this might be a year or two in the future when we have a vaccine that can protect most people.
Dr. Trowin, as always, thank you so much for joining us and for sharing a little bit of your expertise. It's Dr. Bruce Trowin with the Jacobs School of Medicine, talking about a lot about nursing homes and what policies might be smart to put in place when it comes to visitations here in Western New York.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.